Toad of Toad Hall. Ratty, said Mole one bright summer morning, I want to ask you a favour. Will you take me to visit Toad? I've heard so much about him. Why, certainly, said Rat. Get the boat out and we'll paddle up the river at once. Toad's a good-natured animal, though perhaps not very clever and a bit boastful and conceited. But he's very amusing and generous and has some great qualities. Rounding a bend in the river, they came in sight of a handsome old house of mellowed red brick with well-kept lawns reaching down to the water's edge. There's Toad Hall, said Ratty. The stables are over there to the right, and that's the banqueting hall. Toad's rather rich, you know, and this is really one of the nicest houses in these parts, though don't tell him I told you. He's conceited enough as it is. They tied up their boat and strolled across the flower-decked lawns in search of Toad. They found him resting in a wicker garden chair with a large map spread across his knees. Hooray! He shouted, jumping up on seeing them. This is splendid! And he shook them both by the paw. You don't know how lucky it is you turning up just now. Come with me, Ratty, and your friend also, if you'll be so very good. Just as far as the stable yard, and you'll see what you shall see. Toad led the way, Rat following behind with a most distrustful expression. And there, drawn out of the coach house into the open, they saw a gypsy caravan, painted canary yellow, picked out with green and red wheels.
There you are, said Toad. Come inside and look at the arrangements. Planned them all myself, I did.
A very excited mole followed Toad into the caravan, but Rat only snorted and thrust his hands deep into his pockets, remaining where he was. It was indeed very compact and comfortable. Little sleeping bunks, a little table that folded up against the wall, a cooking stove, lockers, bookshelves, a birdcage with a bird in it, and pots, pans, jugs and kettles of every size and variety.
All complete, said Toad, pulling open a locker. You will find that nothing whatever has been forgotten when we make our start this afternoon.
I beg your pardon, said Rat slowly as he chewed a straw, but did I overhear you say something about we and start and this afternoon?
Now, you dear good old Ratty, said Toad, don't begin talking in that stiff and sniffy sort of way, because you know you've got to come. I can't possibly manage without you, so please consider it settled and don't argue. It's the one thing I can't stand. You surely don't mean to stick to your dull old river all your life and just live in a hole in a bank and boat, do you? I want to show you the world. I'm going to make an animal of you, my boy.
Somehow it soon seemed taken for granted by all three of them that the trip was settled, and Rat, though still unconvinced in his mind, allowed his good nature to override his personal objections. When they were quite ready, and the old grey horse was harnessed, they set off, all talking at once, each animal either trudging by the side of the caravan or sitting on the shaft. It was a golden afternoon, and rabbits, sitting at their front doors in the hedgerows, held up their forepaws and waved. Late that evening, tired and far from home, they stopped and ate a simple supper on the grass. Toad talked big about all he was going to do in the days to come, while the stars grew fuller and larger all around them. Then they turned into their little bunks and soon fell fast asleep. When the sun rose in the morning, Mole and Rat got up, made a fire, and washed last night's plates and cups while Toad slept soundly. And though they shook him hard and shouted, Toad just would not wake up. So Mole and Ratty trudged off to a farm to buy some butter and eggs and all the other things that Toad had forgotten to provide. After breakfast, Mole led the horse by the reins while Rat and Toad strolled along behind. They had not gone very far, however, when they heard a faint hum, like the drone of a distant bee. Then, in an instant, there was a blast of wind and a whirl of sound that made them jump for the ditch. With a loud poop, poop, a magnificent red motor car, all plate glass and shining, swept past, throwing up great clouds of dust into the air, choking and blinding them. The old grey horse reared up in terror, and in spite of Mole's efforts to hold him, plunged backwards, sending the canary-covered caravan hurtling into a ditch.
"Villains! Roadhogs! Highwaymen!"
shouted Rat.
I'll report you! I'll have the law on you!"
When Mole finally managed to quieten down the horse, Rat tried to set the caravan right.
"Come on, Toad, you silly, conceited ass! Come and lend a hand!"
But Toad did not answer a word, nor move from the middle of the road. So Rat and Mole went to see what was the matter with him. They found him in a sort of trance, a happy smile on his face, murmuring, "Poop, poop," at intervals.
"Poop, poop.
What are we to do with him?" asked Mole.
"Nothing at all," replied Rat firmly. "I know him of old. He's possessed. He's got a new craze. It always takes him that way in its first stage. He'll continue like that for days now. Never mind him. Let's go and see what's to be done about the caravan."
But it was hopeless. The caravan lay shattered on its side in the ditch, its windows smashed, axles bent, one wheel off, and food and broken crockery scattered everywhere. Rat tied the horse's reins over his back and took him by the head.
"Come on," he said to Mole. "It's 5 or 6 miles to the nearest town. We shall just have to walk."
"But what about Toad? We can't leave him sitting in the middle of the road. It's not safe."
"Oh, bother Toad."
Moments later, however, they heard a pattering of feet behind them. Toad caught them up and thrust an arm inside the elbow of each of them, still staring into space and muttering something about motor cars. When they reached the town, they went straight to the railway station. There they left Toad in the waiting room and took the horse to a stable, giving instructions about the caravan and its contents. Then, catching a slow train, they eventually reached the station not far from Toad Hall. There they left the muttering, sleepwalking Toad and set off for home in their boat. Very late and very tired, they finally sat down to supper in their own cosy riverside home.